printed here. Okay, the Gospel lesson according to St. Matthew. Jesus traveled among all the cities and villages, teaching to their synagogues, announcing the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were troubled and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The size of the harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but there are few workers. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for his harvest." He called his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to throw out and to heal every disease and every sickness. Here are the names of the 12 disciples: Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, and his brother James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, Philip, and Bartholomew, Thomas, and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus. And Jesus sent these 12 out and commanded them, "Now don't go among the Gentiles or into a Samaritan city. Go instead to the lost sheep, the people of Israel. And as you go, make this announcement: the kingdom of heaven has come. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those with skin disease, and throw out demons. You received without having to pay, and therefore give without demanding payment." Workers deserve to be fed, so don't gather gold or silver or copper coins for your church or for your money belt to take on your trips. Don't take a backpack on the road, or two shirts or sandals, or, pardon me, a walking stick. Whatever city or village you go into, find someone in it who is worthy and stay there until you go on your way. And when you go into a house, say, "Peace." If the house is worthy, give it your blessing of peace. But if the house isn't worthy, take back your blessing. And if anyone refuses to welcome you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that house and say, "I assure you that it will be more bearable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah on Judgment Day than it will be for that city." Now look, I'm sending you as sheep among wolves. Therefore be wise as snakes and innocent as doves. Watch out for people, because they will hand snakes and they will turn you over to the consuls, and they will beat you in their synagogues. They will hand you in front of governors and even kings because of me, so you may give your testimony to them and to the Gentiles. Whenever they hand you over, don't worry about how to speak or what you will say, because what you can say will be given to you at that moment. You aren't doing the talking. Preachers need to remember this. You aren't doing the talking, but the Spirit of my Father who is doing the talking through you. Brothers and sisters will hand each other to be executed. A father will turn his child to his children who defy their parents. But whoever stands firm till the end will be saved. Here ends the reading of the Gospel. In the Old Testament lesson, which, you know, I like to go on and on and on. In the Old Testament lesson, it talks about Abraham and his wife Sarah, who one day, three strangers come to the door. And I'll tell you about the story. But first of all, hey, good morning, everybody. I want you to know something. And when I woke up this morning at quarter to six, I go, am I just another 80-year-old guy and too tired to get up and go to church this morning? Now, how many of you people felt that way when you woke up this morning? You can raise your hand. You can be up to it. Sometimes you just want to do that. I go, oh, man. And I said, I'm beginning to feel old. And then I said, now, wait a minute. If you're going to hear a good sermon, I figured I better go. So I want you to know that I do many things, but one of the things I do at least three or four days a week is I visit the local YMCA. I like to walk around. They have what they call a feature in their pool area called the River of Life, which has a current that runs through it. And I usually walk around it 50 times, which is about a mile and a half. But what this causes is it helps me have really good naps, you know, in the afternoon. And usually when I go over there, they have a exercise group for mature women in their 60s, 70s, and several in their 80s. And they talk, and they have led by a leader who is a reformer school nurse who has a voice that could put to shame any drill instructor or Marine Corps ever had. You get inside that pool, and when she calls out the commandments, I go, my goodness. And she interrupts my train of thought when I'm working hard. And among the things that they do is that when they're done, they'll sing out songs and talk. And usually every time they sing God Bless America. They sound pretty good. I have been known to stop what I'm doing and sing along with them. And they started singing, they got to the verse, and then they got to that chorus, and they stopped singing, and I just kept singing. I don't know where my voice went, but they were nice enough to applaud when I was done. At least they didn't laugh at me. And I think it was probably good laughter because, you know, when you see a whole bunch of people in their 60s and 70s and 80s, you see people in a way, well, actually, you really don't want to see people that way anymore, but you know how it is. But we have a good time. For your own information, life is pretty good most of the time. Had surgery last July, as you may have heard. Found out about a year ago from a foot doctor and a surgeon at the hospital, and he says, well, you know that rumor you've always had a flat foot? Yep. Always pains. Well, we don't think that was a problem. He says, you've probably been walking with a fractured foot your entire adult life and injured when you were in high school. And he said, no wonder it hurts all the time. Yeah, but it's better. Now that that's better, I have a new pain. And because the whole thing is, when you heal, your body's got to get used to walking like it's supposed to for the last 60 years. But when it does that, other parts hurt. And so you'd say, life, right? Such is life. But it's here, and it's good to see you. I do want to say that I read the church newsletter. In the last newsletter, I see that Rudy Pepin joined the church. And I asked, how did this happen? And the answer I have heard was this: food. And I go, yep, I understand. I understand. And those of you who know her know very well that Faye is just smart. dealing with a certain amount of pleasure. And those are very good memories and wonderful people. Anyway, news? Other than news, other than being a little more I won't say mature. I thought I was, but that's not happening. Older. I have a nephew that's going to get married, which is shocking because, you know, you get that age, it'll never happen. Family, she's a lawyer. And then she says, and she's smart. And so, how smart? And she says, well, she's graduating with honors from Notre Dame Law School. I go, oh. Larry, he said, she played basketball for Notre Dame. This means she was good. Her grandfather plays sandlot basketball. He played against Michael Jordan. Oh, who is he marrying into? You know, I was impressed. You know, it's kind of nice to be older and be impressed. It really is. Sometimes when we get older, we get depressed. But it's nice to be older and be impressed. It's a good feeling. When I go to Hawaii, invariably there are varieties of people that live in the St. Cloud area. Often when I go in there, there is a gentleman I would judge to be in his mid-40s. I do not understand his language. But he sits there and we kind of would look at each other. And one time we nodded at each other. And now we've learned to communicate with each other. He's a Somali gentleman. And now we recognize each other, and by recognizing each other, we have status in one another's eyes. And we discover that we are no longer strangers in a strange place, but we are people who know each other in a familiar place. This has consequences. The pool often has Somali women walking in the water, which is interesting. Somali women will go in the water and they'll have all their outfits. They'll have the thing over their heads, and they'll have their shawls, and they're like, and they walk in the water, and they flow, and they laugh, and they cry. And now that they see that this gentleman knows me, apparently he must be some kind of authority figure in their community, it's okay for them to smile at me, because I will look at them like human beings. And now, so when I walk to pool, they all acknowledge, oh, it's good to see you again. We cease to be strangers. And then I find that I relate to them, then some of these, shall I put it delicately, other women pool walkers whose best looks may have been a couple years ago, they start to smile at these Somali women. And they, oh my goodness, they're people. People are much more relaxed. And I have walked the water while I ever heard these women, the Somali women, humming some kind of music in Somali. If they're doing that, they're feeling pretty comfortable. So one of the time, this gentleman asked me, he says, why don't you come and visit me at a Somali restaurant in town? Well, you know me, a new restaurant? When have I ever turned down an invitation like that? So I walked in, trust me, I was the only person with light skin in the whole place. And a couple of the women who were judged in their 40s, they were so delighted that a foreigner was in their restaurant. I go, wow, they didn't know what to do for a moment. And they said, what do you want? I want such and such and such and such. Then when he sat down, I didn't help myself. The young men that were in the restaurant came, they brought the food to me. And then I realized these young people were treating me with respect, like I was an elder to be honored. And I have to admit, a person could get used to this, you know. I was reminded of my late mother. My late mother, she had a wonderful Chinese restaurant she used to love to go to down in Indiana. She loved it, and when they had a 90th birthday coming up years ago, they let the host of this place, the regular customer was coming in there to celebrate her 90th birthday. When they heard about that, they treated her like a queen. They did not have a meal. They had a banquet. They put out decorations and so forth. The Chinese know how to treat us older folks. You know? They make you feel special, honored even. As I said, a person could get used to that. It is the will of God that all people could get used to that. It is the will of God that there are no strangers. It is the will of God that if you're a stranger, you can walk into any church anywhere and you will not be a stranger. A church is a place where you say you're welcome. Not that this has always happened. 60 years ago, I started seminary. So one of the things I went to was Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, New York City. Now, Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church is a church that if you were a member of the vestry there at Fifth Avenue, let's just say your income was starting in the six figures. That was one of those places. It was the kind of place when I went into the ushers, I get this, wore tails, not just suits. They were informal, and I go, what kind of place is this? I felt like a stranger. I was a stranger. I was treated like a stranger. I didn't need to be told. Their thoughts was, oh, what are you doing here? I didn't like it. Another time when I was in seminary, we would get tickets. We'd get tickets to go see plays, you know, because, you know, we were students. We were broken. People would donate tickets to plays or discount things. And so we inherited a couple of tickets to go see a concert of the New York Philharmonic. And this means, oh my goodness, we had to dress up and put on suits. Well, you know, when you're 22 years old, that's hard to do. So we went down and we got there. Everybody else had tuxes on. Well, it turned out that it was a farewell concert for Leonard Bernstein's retirement, and they had a party. Well, you talk about feeling undressed. But now listen, here's when we get back to food again. But when there's free food, you forget you're a stranger. You show up and enjoy it anyway. And we did. But you still see, because if we turn down the strangers, it's linked to another question. In our times, I don't need to tell you, it is very hard for us to recognize the presence of God. The way people behave, the way people live, You wonder if people would recognize the holy presence even when it's right there. It's almost as if the holy presence is a stranger among us. It's gotten so unfamiliar to us that we wouldn't know it if it's there. If it came out and touched you and slammed it over your heart, would you recognize that God is present? So the Old Testament story is that three strangers came to the door of Abram and Sarah. Do you remember the rest of the story? Three strangers told Sarah, "Oh, by the way, we're going to come back in a year after all the hospitality, Abram, yeah, you have feet. We're going to come back in a year and you're going to bear a baby." And Sarah had been barren. And do you remember what the story, what did Sarah do when she heard this was going to happen? You remember that story? She laughed at them. "Yeah, right. Yeah, give me a break. That's not going to happen." She was so unfamiliar with the presence of those who represent the presence of God. She didn't recognize their authority when they were right there. She laughed at them. Now you take a look around at examples of the culture wars of our times. And when you people and the people throughout the country tried to recognize what is good and holy, it would seem a lot of people are really unfamiliar with what is really holy and what is really blessed and what is really good. When you treat everybody like a stranger, like you don't belong, what's the complication here? I discovered among my family research that when the Hagars left Germany in the 1730s, they originally went into the port of Baltimore. It was where they were settled. And if you recall your history, Baltimore was a colony that was settled by the Roman Catholic population. They were welcomed there by the English. The Hagars were not welcomed. Why in Baltimore? They were strangers. And they were made it clear, "Well, we don't think you'd be happy here." They weren't. They wound up in Hagerstown, Maryland, further west, north of D.C. I learned this past year from a cousin of mine that she did some research that her sister had done. And it seems that on my mother's side, her family had been in America only since 1626. That's a long, long time ago. And they settled into Maryland, Plymouth, Massachusetts. They went to Plymouth. They heard it was a settled colony, and the word among the family is, well, they weren't made to feel welcome. The pilgrims liked people who agreed with and behaved like pilgrims are supposed to, but well, this family, being my ancestors, being the nature they are, probably didn't go along with everything the way I like, and they were independent. So they left, and they went out to Cape Cod and started their own town. That's been part of the genius of our country, is to incorporate strangers and make them find a home. A long time ago, I was in eighth grade. I swear to God, I really was. There was a song by Brooke Benton. You might remember this song. "Looking for a Stranger," a boll weevil song. "Looking for a home," a boll weevil. And I said to my father, "This song is the song of human life." Because all we ever do, when you think of it, one of the things anyway, in life, is to find a place and a setting and people where you can call home. And if you're going to live a whole life
And there's no place, no people where you can call home, you're not going to be a very happy person. It just ain't going to happen. And then you wonder why. I wonder why. Why people in Gaza are always upset. Ask yourself, you think they feel like they've been at home in the last who knows how long? No. Think of the people as I speak this morning. It says, where is home for you? They can't think of any place. What's wrong with this picture? A long time ago, which was just a couple years ago, there was a hymn where the one line is, come home, remember? Come home. Listen to that. That's a powerful song because it touches the emotion of every heart anybody has ever lived. Come home. So as a congregation, and this congregation, when you've been at your best, is a place where people have found, I can be home among these people. If you do that, when this is a place where people can feel welcome, and if they want to sing beautifully, they can. If you want to sing awful, you can. You don't even have to behave like a Methodist. You might actually cheat and have a peer down at the 10 high, for heaven's sake. But here, you will be home. That's kind of nice. That's really nice. That is a gift from God. Let's pray to the Lord. Lord our God, in all of your mercy, which is more generous than what we will ever know, receive us into your home, that we know this is where we belong. And there's a song in our hearts, and that we will laugh, and maybe even dance and look ridiculous. Because, oh, my goodness, we're happy. Praise be to God. Amen.